Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, once again, it's a pleasure to welcome into our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, the one and only, the famous and talented George Marshall is here. Welcome back, George.
Oh, thanks. Glad to be back.
And you brought a friend.
Yes, I did, and I had to drag him here. It's Steven Feinberg, head of the Rhode Island Film and Television Office.
Oh, that's who he is.
Yeah.
Happy to be here, and I love what you did. The whirlpool is beautiful, as is all of the other
All the accoutrements.
It's beautiful here.
Well, it's glad to have you back, Stephen. George and I have done a few shows without you.
I'm sure they were better than the one that's with me.
Well, we're here tonight because the Rhode Island International Film Festival is going to be, as usual, presenting its red carpet evening, which is just 2 weeks away.
Just a week away.
It sounds like an old song.
It's co-produced with the Rhode Island Film Office, and Steve is our honorary chair. And we're excited because we have some wonderful things happening this year, including live music for presentation. And if you go to the event, of course, you get to see the Oscars on a big screen.
Right.
After having an exquisite dinner at the Graduate Providence, for those locally, that used to be the Biltmore Hotel.
It will always be the Biltmore.
And it's a beautiful night. It's Sunday night. February 9th.
Yeah.
And it starts at 5:30 p.m. cocktail reception. It will be covered live on TV.
By ABC6.
Yep. And it's going to be fantastic. We've got, I think, 6 or 7 awards being given out, and there'll be some surprise guests as well.
Excellent. Excellent. It is a wonderful event. I was privileged and honored 2 years ago to be one of those recipients at that red carpet night.
Well deserved.
Well, I don't know about that, but at least you know, I got something out of it.
You got the standing ovation. You're doing a lot of autographs.
And we had to pay so many people to do that. So
well, the reason we have you in this time of year is not only promote the red carpet night, but also talk about the music that is going to be presented, and perhaps obviously, well, one of these will be a winner.
Yeah, we're going to be discussing today the nominees for Best Soundtrack, and we'll also talk about the nominees for Best Song.
Right.
I have my favorite. Steven has his favorite. So what we thought we'd do today is give the folks that are listening a smorgasbord and a taste of the different songs and music that are being recognized this year by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
All right. Just before we start, I want you to get information in your heads out there. You can go to the website for the red carpet event.
Absolutely. You can go to www.rifilmfest.org, and it'll say Red Carpet Experience. Click on it. It'll take you right to the ticketing information.
That's www.rifilmfest.org.
That's very good. You're just like a real radio guy.
Why, thank you.
We're not going to be able to live with him after this.
All right, let's get to the first piece of music to get us in the mood, and we're going to go to a movie that I have seen. I went to the theater when it first came out, 1917.
Mm. It's a great film by Sam Mendes, and for those who may not know Sam Mendes, they might know some of his other work, notably Skyfall. So he's worked on the James Bond franchise. This is based on a true story about his grandfather, World War I, actually. And what's cool about the film is it's shot with this, it looks like a single camera, just tracking these guys. So if you're watching the film, it's like you are the camera and you are there during this entire experience of going through the trenches and going across enemy lines. It's very gripping and engaging, and the music reflects that as well. And Stephen, any comments on this?
Yes, I'd like to say that it's a very immersive film. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite film of the year. Roger Deakins, who's the cinematographer, just won Best Cinematography Award by the Association of Cinematographers, and Sam Mendes, the director, he just won the Directors Guild Award over the weekend for Best Director, and it's very immersive. The music's by Thomas Newman. They have worked together on films like Road to Perdition, American Beauty, and Skyfall, and now 1917.
And the film itself is up for 10 Academy Awards.
Wow. All right, so we're going to start with
the title theme, 1917.
And then we're going to go right into Come Back to Us.
All yep. right.
Thank you.
The movie was 1917, and I have two movie experts here, so I'm going to ask you both a question. You've both been on the set when movies are filmed. You've talked to directors. You've talked to production people.
Okay.
The plane is coming right at them. Why do they not run away from the plane instead of in front of it in 1917?
Well, I can be glib and just say it wasn't in the script, but
I knew that I was watching that scene start to unfold.
And it probably popped in your mind, Mike Mano is going to ask me a question about this.
The first thing I go is North by Northwest. That popped right into my head.
Very similar.
This is going to be a North by Northwest moment. And then sure enough, a minute later.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, I'm not going to criticize. I thought that movie was wonderful.
It was wonderful. I'm just teasing. It's one of those things that you don't think about. And somebody after the movie said to me, why didn't they, you know, why didn't they run the other way? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't. That wasn't the point.
Well, sometimes you're just running, man. Like, you're just running.
Yeah.
Just run. All right. Speaking of not to the point, I've got off the point because we were going to talk about another movie, The Joker, or it's just Joker.
Joker. Right? Joker. It's just Joker. And it's a fascinating film because it's an R-rated film, which drew so much audience. I mean, it made over $1 billion in box office, and it had a different retelling of what has become a really known theme in the DC Universe, because we've had multiple interpretations from Heath Ledger down the line. I mean, those growing up in my generation remember the old Batman TV series with Cesar Romero.
Frank Gorshin was the Riddler.
The Riddler, you're right.
Okay.
And this one really changed everything because it took this in a very serious level. They showed you a real city. It wasn't a fictitious city. They had real music in it that had nothing to do with being created for the film. It was like a living, breathing film from today. And the performance, which to me dealt with mental illness, just was very engaging. And I didn't go in there wanting to like the film, but I left liking the film. And what's unique is we have an international composer, and I'll pronounce the name. It's Hildur Gunnadottir. And I got that from Google Translates.
Okay.
So I'm not going to tell.
I actually dated Hildur Gunnadottir. We had gone to the prom together, so it's easy for me.
Have him say Gunnadottir 10 times.
It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. But, you know, it's amazing to me because what's happening is we've got a transition from traditional classic composers and new composers coming in from Iceland, from Norway, from Finland, folks that have taken the new baton and have changed the dynamics of how we watch a movie and how we listen to a movie. This music is quite striking. I'm not going to tell you it's something you're going to listen to all the time. It's not driving music unless you're going to be running down people in the car.
Yeah, it's not the most cheerful.
It's not cheerful, but it reflects the film. Go ahead.
I'd like to say this too. There's a lot of cello in the music, but what was very interesting is how in this particular case, Todd Phillips had engaged her to write the Joker music, and the music then had an impact on Joaquin Phoenix's performance. So at one point during the movie, the filming of it, Todd Phillips played the music for Joaquin and said, this is what is being...
happening.
This is what's happening for the music. And there was a particular scene in the movie where the Joker... or Joaquin Phoenix's character creates his first crime or murder. And he did not know as an actor what he was going to do in the scene that would follow up and transition him. But then he had heard that music earlier in the day and thought about the music and then went off and started to ad lib a ballet moment that happens in the restroom. And that ballet moment is his transition into Joker. And it was all because he was inspired by her music.
Which is a perfect setup for the piece we're going to be listening to called Young Penny.
We'll listen to that, take a short break, and be back with more.
Thank you.
The Rhode Island International Film Festival, subject of tonight's program, and talking about some of the things that might be happening just 1 week from tonight. And if you want to be part of it, you can go to the Rhode Island event called the Red Carpet Experience. Is that the correct title?
That is the correct experience. The correct title for the experience. It used to be known as Oscar Night America.
Well, there you go. But now it's the Red Carpet Experience, and I'm Mike Mano, sitting with George Marshall, who is the executive director of the film festival, and the supreme one, the man that's in charge of pretty much everything in Rhode Island, as far as film goes anyway, right?
I feel good.
Yeah. Steven Feinberg, and you're the executive director also, right?
I am, Mike. I'm the executive director of the Rhode Island Film and Television Office, and I think I'm in my 15th year of being the honorary chairman of the Oscar Night event.
This is true.
Very excited. And last year, if you recall, Peter Farrelly, a Rhode Island native, won Best Picture. And the first thing he said is, I've got a lot of people to thank, but first and foremost, I want to thank the great state of Rhode Island. And
That makes it all worthwhile, right?
That was really awesome.
It really does. And George, a lot of work goes into putting this together.
Absolutely. Actually, we spend almost a year planning this out. And we're really busy in the fall making sure we get all of our silent auction items, we get community support, things are donated to help actually make this a benefit for us. And we work with Stephen early on to determine who what awards we want to be giving out and actually what the thematic of the show is. I mean, this year our theme is to infinity and beyond, and we're saluting the world of animation, specifically Toy Story 4.
Well, there you go. All right.
And I have to say one more thing. The silent auction items that are on display every year are awesome. They're amazing. So
if you ever want to get a star's signature or something like
that, this is the place.
Right. And that's going to be at the what used to be the Biltmore, now called the Providence Graduate Hotel.
But they never took the sign down, so it still says Biltmore on the top of the building.
That's why it will always be the Biltmore, to all of us anyway.
Exactly. So it's in the Grand Ballroom, which was actually recently redone, so it's quite lovely now.
Good. All right. Well, we're going to get to, we have been talking about movies. We've talked about 1917 so far and The Joker, and now it's on to Little Women.
Little Women by Alexandre Desplat, and of course, this is a new version of a classic story. Directed by a woman, Greta Gerwig. It's up for 6 nominations. And what's fascinating here is that, from my personal perspective, I think is one of the strongest versions of the film out there. Hmm. It's a nice entertainment piece that the whole family can enjoy. And the music is quite engaging. So we're going to do one band here, and the track is called Theater in the Attic. And Stephen, you have any comments?
I just want to say that Alexandre Desplat has worked a lot of times with Wes Anderson. So those folks might be familiar with his music, and always innovative, and multi-award winner.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward. I have not seen Little Women yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it and hearing the music now.
All right. Let's listen to Theater in the Attic.
Thank you.
we're going to go from Little Women to the Newman family, and very prolific.
Very much so, and they go way back in Hollywood history. We're going to be actually paying attention now to a film called Marriage Story. The composer is Randy Newman, and Stephen, comments?
Right, Randy Newman, who also coincidentally has done the music for Toy Story as well, is competing against his brother Thomas Newman, who did the score for 1917.
Wow.
So it's a pretty powerful musical family with Ira Newman and no relation to Paul Newman.
The father was the original, who did all the work during the 30s and 40s,
That's right, Alfred.
Alfred Newman?
Yeah.
No, that was Mad Magazine. I think it's Ira Newman, I believe.
No. It's just a different
No relation Alfred. To Paul Newman, who makes a wonderful salad dressing.
Well, I don't know if that has to do with this, but let's get back to
ignore everything this man sitting next to me is saying.
Marriage Story.
Marriage Story stars Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson and
Laura Dern.
But it's a not about a marriage that's happy. It's about a marriage that faces real struggles. And what I thought we'd do, instead of going into all the music, just give a flavor of it. And this band I've selected is What I Love About Nicole, which is the Scarlett Johansson character. It's very Randy Newman, and if you know any of his music, it has that sense of flavor. I mean, this is a guy that gave us the Little People song years ago, long before the Toy Story.
In The Natural, he did the score for The Natural.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to be very, very smart when you said, and Laura Dern. And I was going to say, and she's up for Best Supporting Actress.
Yes.
But I checked and I looked and I'm right. So that's good. So that's why I'm bringing it up.
She's won multiple awards already. Screen Actors Guild,
she's had a couple
Golden
good
Globes.
Years.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's listen to this.
Thank you.
The big event is Oscar Night, the red carpet experience, which is going to be held at the Biltmore Hotel / Providence Graduate Hotel a week from tonight. And that's sponsored by both the Rhode Island International Film Festival and the Television and Film Office.
Rhode Island Film and Television Office.
Rhode Island Film and Television Office, okay. And George Marshall is here. I'm Mike Mano. And Stephen Feinberg, the voice you just heard, is going to catch us up with a little bit of what's been going on in the film industry.
Well, Mike, it's been very busy here in Rhode Island. We just wrapped up season two of the AMC horror thriller show Nosferatu, which stars Zachary Quinto. And that has been very exciting. We have another film that was made locally, The Bootlegger.
In Newport.
And that talks about the rum runners of, I think it's...
1920s,
Yes. Yeah. And we have another series that is going to be filming in Rhode Island that I'm particularly excited about. It's been a 9-year odyssey to bring this show to Rhode Island. And we'll be making an announcement soon. But it's going to have a very, very positive impact on tourism. And then one of our local filmmakers, Tom DiNucci, is going to be starting another film, I believe, in April.
Okay. And so that was a teaser about what might be coming.
Something is coming, and it's going to start filming in May, and then again in September, and it's a new series. I can't say what it is yet, but everyone will be very, very proud. A lot of Rhode Islanders will be proud of this particular show.
Does this have anything to do with the life of George Marshall?
It does, actually. I knew you were going to bring that up.
I'm about to leave the room at this point.
It's supposed to be a secret.
All right. Well, we'll have to have you back in the spring, and we'll figure out what it is.
Oh, you will know in the spring for sure.
All right.
And you might even know next week.
Maybe.
Well, there you go. That would be a great announcement to make at the red carpet.
Red carpet, exactly.
All right. And people can get tickets still.
Online. At www.rifilmfest.org.
Okay, and it's a complete night of entertainment. They have adult beverage available.
Well, we have a signature drink.
A signature drink. I didn't know
which
that.
Is to infinity and beyond.
Oh.
Yes, and the designated driver for it.
Yes. Okay. You don't want to go too far.
No. Right.
But you're talking about the meal and the big screen and all this.
Cocktails.
Everybody who's anybody.
Well, we have a signature dessert, and the company that gives us the stuff is just, it's amazing. They create a cake that this year will reflect Toy Story Land.
Cool.
So it's going to have all the thematics, and every table will have a Toy Story element on it.
I want Woody.
We have Woody. We have Buzz Lightyear. We have Rex the dinosaur. Yeah. We have Bo Peep. Those will be on each of the tables. They all talk. These ones actually are not... Little pieces of plastic. They actually will talk, and everybody at the table can fight over who gets to walk off with
it. There
you
go.
And you can pose with the Oscar. We have a giant Oscar.
Right. That it's people about 6.5 foot, 7 foot tall. Yeah. Right?
People can pose
with our step
that.
And repeat. And we also have Toy Story elements that you can pose with as well.
Right.
Okay. So check it out and be at the Biltmore next Sunday night.
Next Sunday.
All right.
It's going to be fun.
Let's get to our next movie on the list. And tell us about this.
Well, we're going to be talking about the original song here. There are 5 nominations for original song, and they include I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away from Toy Story 4, and that's Randy Newman. I'm Gonna Love You Again from Rocket Man, and that's Elton John. I'm Standing With You from the film Breakthrough, Into the Unknown from Frozen 2, and Stand Up from Harriet. And I selected Into the Unknown because of all the songs, to be honest with you, I thought that was one of the strongest. So I'm giving you my preference.
Is that a prediction or just a preference?
It's a preference because at this point, Frozen 2 was not even nominated for Best Animation, which was a surprise, to be honest with you. But having said that, Toy Story is 2, and while I like the song by Randy Newman, it is not the same as listening to You've Got a Friend in Me, which is the strongest song from Toy Story 4.
Sure.
And they do play that, plus it's also from the original Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a really good song, Into the Unknown, and it speaks a lot about how strong that film was and also the journey taken by the characters. So that's the piece we're going to be playing now, Into the Unknown from Frozen 2.
Thank you. can hear you, but I won't. Some look for trouble, while others don't. There's a thousand reasons I should go about my day and ignore your whispers, which I wish would go away. Oh, oh. You're not a voice, you're just a ringing in my ear. And if I heard you, which I don't, and spoken for, I fear. Everyone I've ever loved is here within these walls. I'm sorry, secret siren, but I'm blocking out your calls. I've had my adventure, I don't need something new. I am afraid of what I'm risking if I follow you into the unknown. Keeping me awake? Are you here to distract me so I make a big mistake? Or are you someone out there who's a little bit like me, who knows deep down I'm not where I'm meant to be? Every day it's a little harder as I feel my power grow. Don't you know there's part of me that loves to go?
Now that I have both experts here in the room with me, I'm going to ask a question that's always bothered me. Most of the time in the Oscars, if you will, there are five nominees.
Right.
But you look at Best Picture, and lately that has not been the case.
No, they've expanded the number of film titles. And a lot of it goes to the fact that, aside from, there's a lot of good films out there. That's number one. But two, they used to be ignored, and they were looking for greater diversity and greater representation. So if you look this year, you'll see films like Parasite, which you wouldn't have seen years ago. You see Jojo Rabbit, which probably would not have been up there on this level.
That looks like a weird movie, too.
It looks weird.
It's weird, but I haven't seen it, to be honest with you. I've read the script, and it's funny as hell. It really is unexpected. And it's Taika Waititi, who did What We Do in the Shadows, the pseudo-documentary about vampires living in New Zealand. He was the director of Thor Ragnarok, and that changed the entire dynamics of how the Thor icon actually is perceived by the audience. It was a funny, funny movie.
Okay.
And he's in a very original talent. So I think and Joker, I don't think Joker would have been nominated 5 or 10 years ago.
Well, the typical nominees would have been Little Women.
Yeah.
Right?
That would have been safe. That would have been predictable.
And
I don't think Parasite.
Time.
Yeah, I don't think Parasite would have been nominated years ago. That would have been Best Foreign Picture.
I think they wanted to expand it for diversity. Also, some of the films that were commercially successful, they sometimes get ignored.
Yeah.
So if that was a film, if there was a particular film that did very well at the box office, they wanted to acknowledge those types of films, too.
So just to catch everybody up, it's Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, mm-hmm. and Parasite.
That's right.
Right. And quite a diversified list.
And yes. then let me give you the list of the top box office films from 2019. Avengers Endgame, The Lion King, Spider-Man Far From Home, Captain Marvel, Toy Story 4, Aladdin, Joker, Frozen 2, and Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
So Joker's the only one that made
it? Joker's the only one that made it. And these are the most popular films. And I'm talking, in the case of Endgame, $2.79 billion.
Billion with a B.
Don't forget also, some of these films are slated for the Oscar award season. So they often come at the end of the year. So they're fresh in the minds of those who are casting ballots.
Yeah. And right. the Oscar right. nomination does bring a kick to the box office. In the case right now of 1917, it's pushed the title over $100 million in the United States box office. So mm-hmm. this is something, and this happened with Shape of Water and other films in the past. The nomination does have value.
And that was the whole impetus for the Oscars, was to help promote the films commercially. That right. was the whole reason. So, yeah.
And the other thing that's happened here, too, is we have different distribution platforms now. It's no longer just the mainstays from either Disney, Paramount, Sony, or Columbia. It now includes Netflix.
Sure. For example, The Irishman, I watched it on Netflix.
Yeah, and Marriage Story is Netflix.
Yeah.
Now, they still need to be shown at a movie theater in New York and L.A. for a minimum, I believe, of 2 weeks.
Right.
And then...
Oh, that's the...
That's the rule.
That's the rule.
Oh, I didn't realize yes. that.
Yeah, and that's been an issue, a bone of contention with Steven Spielberg.
Right.
As far as, you know, should these films be in competition? Are these video films? Are these Emmys? Should these be Emmys versus Oscars?
That
conversation is still ongoing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. See, I knew I would get an answer to my question. But all the other categories are five, right? I believe.
I think that's right. All the other categories are five. And this one has been expanded. And I think it's great because it gives you a greater diversity of titles. And to be honest with you, I think this is a solid year. Would I have liked to have seen some of the top box office films nominated? Yeah,
well,
I do.
It seems like Avengers. I haven't seen it, but the numbers.
Avengers Endgame was a good film.
A lot of people cried.
Yeah, it was a highly engaging film. It brought closure to all the films that had come before it. It brought an end to the Iron Man cycle through the Marvel universe. And to be honest with you, I think it deserves something.
Yeah.
But I'm not the one making the choices here.
We could have our own.
We could do our own. Will they have the same value? I'm not quite sure. But I've always wanted to name it after Steven Feinberg.
Oh, there you go.
And there you go. And that, I mean, maybe
what we call it, the Feinies?
Hey, we could have a small little Feinies. Mascot.
The Feinberg International.
We could do a mascot. I like
of greatness.
That.
Yeah.
Well, what would be a Feinie? What rhymes with Feinie? Never mind. All right.
There you go. Oh, see, I used to punch people in the face for that back
then. Can
in the
we
day.
Talk about music here?
Yeah.
And just
right.
bring Let's it back because our last piece that we're going to talk about is from an icon in the music world in film, and that's John Williams. And his last score, this is number 9 in the Star Wars universe, The Rise of Skywalker. This received a nomination. The music is familiar, but it also has some unique riffs as
very well. Very rich in tapestry.
It's very rich.
And he is, it's a record-breaking nomination for him. I believe I like to call him Johnny Williams. He's 86 years old.
He called Stephen yesterday to touch base.
He used to be known as Johnny Williams. Yeah. So when he was doing Lost in Space and
Twilight Zone,
and mm-hmm. then he did the Irwin Allen films, Poseidon Adventure, Towering Inferno, and he has changed the course of filmmaking and music. He's American cinema, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to the music.
Music end of it. He's the one. He's the man.
He's the man.
So that sounds like a good thing to end the program with.
Yeah, and we have one piece that we'd like to play, and that's the title of the band is called The Rise of Skywalker. And it just, to me, typifies his musical style. And what makes him such an iconic composer? He creates thematics for each of the characters, each of the locations, similar to what Eric Kongol did back in the 1930s. It's a hyper-romantic school of music, and Williams epitomizes something that, you know, I hope will never be lost in as far as what makes good film music.
And he said he loved the character of Rey, and that's why he wanted to finish doing these Star Wars movies. He goes, I just love her, and I want to make sure that I'm doing her music.
There you go. Well, time is running out. I want to thank you both for coming in. One more time, next Sunday night, the Red Carpet Experience. Make sure you check it out. Go to the Film Festival website, and you can buy tickets right there online.
Absolutely. www.rifilmfest.org.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate you coming in. Thank you, George, as usual.
Thank you, Mike.
Great job.
Always
thank
a pleasure.
You. Thank you. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.